I thought, you know, we exited that game last night. I think, you know, you lose back-to-back games, get your attention. And, you know, we're in a hole right now, so we want to make sure that tomorrow we prioritize the importance of that game, and it's a different level. And, you know, we're in a tough spot against games 5, 6, and 7 against Detroit. You know, we're looking at it like that.
Obviously, a clip from Joel Quenneville from yesterday as he gets set to try and motivate his club for a victory tonight on TD Garden Ice, the Bruins. A convincing win in Game 4. Hawks will need to step it up if they want to even it up. A 6 o'clock start. We'll have it for you on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. In Boston, and one of our NHL insiders, pleased to be joined by Ed Olczyk. The Hawks had a heck of a time trying to generate much of anything, whether it be with the man advantage, and I know we'll talk about the power play, but certainly the Bruins, a suffocating effort in game number 3. I would guess it's pretty rare that you've seen the Hawks limited to the number of chances that they were able to muster.
Well, that's fair, but I think you go back to even to game 2 after period 1, where they just completely dominated the Bruins and had 19 shots, but since that point and one goal in that first period of game 2, I might add, and since that point, nothing to show for it. Not a lot of second chance opportunities, let alone third chance opportunities in game 3, and I think that's a real point of emphasis for the Blackhawks at even strength, is that the guys without the puck got to get inside the dots. Most goaltenders in this league are going to be able to stop pucks from 25, 35 feet out. They're going to be able to direct those rebounds out of dangerous areas. But if you're not getting there, I don't care what league you're in or what team you play on, is if you don't have the willingness and the ability to be able to get inside the dots to get to those traffic areas, you're not going to generate a whole heck of a lot. And I think that it was pretty explanatory, self-explanatory of watching the game and seeing the 3 second-chance opportunities that the Blackhawks had in Game 3. And when you get to the Stanley Cup Final, that's just not going to cut it, and you end up losing Game 3.
And I guess just more of the same when we start talking about the power play. It's not been great. You would have played on the power play. When things are in a drought, I would guess it's one of those things where you almost take a deep breath and a sigh and think, here we go again on this power play. It's got to be frustrating, but it's the same type of thing, isn't it, Ed? Get to the hard areas. You're going to have to generate traffic, and you're going to have to just work a little harder and do a little bit more.
Well, they need to win some faceoffs too, and they haven't been able to do that. I think they only won 28 or 29% of the faceoffs in game 3, and when you're getting that free opportunity in the offensive zone on the man advantage, you got to win that draw and keep the puck alive. They haven't been able to do that, so that takes off, 15, 20 seconds before you can get the puck back down. And then their entries have been average at best. They need to find a way to get the puck into the zone, and I think that if you want to run set plays and be creative, well, the only way that that's going to work is if you set it up with dumping the puck in and going and getting it. And they haven't been doing that, I think, enough in this series. And the power play's been a sore spot for a period of time now. It's much more magnified now because we are in a Stanley Cup final. But it's been a tough spot for them over the course of the last couple of weeks of the regular season and then into the playoffs. But, I mean, they're a team that can get, if they get one, they can get 3 or 4. I mean, that's just the way that it is. And confidence is a huge, huge part of it. But the offensive looks in the offensive zone, while on the man advantage, I mentioned this the other night in our broadcast down here in the States, that, you know, the adjustment I think needs to be made, and made the overture, both teams need to do it, instead of trying to work the puck from the half board up to the blue line and get the shots, because both these penalty-killing teams are as good as they are in the league, they get into shooting lanes, they take away those passing lanes, you have to go the opposite way. You have to work from the half boards down to the goal line, old-fashioned meat and potatoes jam play where you just put it towards the side of the net. It's there, the play is there, and you take the puck to the net and you create. Boston has adjusted. I mean, they had a couple of great chances in the third period. Brad Marchand had 2 really good chances with that particular play. The goal they scored was a play just like that, and I understand it was a 5-on-3, not technically because David Bolin had just come out of the box to make it a 5-on-4, but it was a 5-on-3 set. So adjustments matter. And then we'll see what happens on the power play. But you're right, a lot of it is confidence. And when you don't score and you don't create, there is a letdown, no question.
Chatting with Ed Olchek, one of our NHL insiders on the Subway Restaurants Fresh Take Hotline here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Ed, nobody knows this Chicago team better than you. A, how are you feeling about the pulse of this team going into Game 4? And is there any way to kind of, you know, overemphasize what Marian Hossa means to the team, even though we know he's not 100%?
Yeah, huge loss, especially, you know, finding out so late. I'm sure that there was a massive impact of him not being able to play the other night. But, hey, sometimes that's galvanizing. You know, sometimes that just, you know, brings guys, you know, the mental awareness and the focus is a little tighter and stronger when you have something like that happen. I mean, look what happened back in round one when Nicholas Backstrom of the Minnesota Wild went out in warm-up. Josh Harding hadn't played a game, a full game, in almost, what, 5 or 6 months. And, you know, he was out there and did the job and got the game to overtime and eventually lost that game. But at the end of the day, I think they're a confident team. I think they understand that, hey, you know what, they didn't play very well and they got to find a way to be much better. It's only one game, you know. I mean, I think when you've been there, and I think that's so crucial in the series, especially with two teams that have been recent Stanley Cup winners in the last couple of years, is that there isn't too much that you haven't seen. You know, everybody was questioning whether or not the Bruins could rebound from Game 1 after having a 3-1 lead with 12 minutes left to go in the third period, and all of a sudden you're in triple overtime and you lose the game. If the Bruins hadn't been there and won a Stanley Cup a couple of years ago, I felt that, yeah, it could have an impact. But since you have so many guys that have been there, I think it's just, hey, it's one game and, you know, we'll be ready, and certainly they were for Game 2. But for the Blackhawks, I think they're a very confident team. Everybody's banged up. Their team, let me just say this, there are guys on both of these teams that are taped up and just finding a way to get out there and play, and that's playoff hockey. It's no excuse. It's the fact. And you got to find a way to, you know, to bite the bullet and suck it up and get out there and find a way to do something for your team. And I would expect that the Blackhawks would come out with that energy, come out with a strong push here. But the Bruins are playing really well defensively. And, you know, the guy in goal is pretty good, too. So that's something that you have to overcome is to you know, to get a puck past Tuukka Rask and look for those second and third chance opportunities.
In terms of those guys, like you say, that are taped up, ice bags and that sort of thing, would you put a guess, or maybe you know, would you put Patrick Kane in that group, or is he a guy that just simply needs to elevate his game?
Well, he needs to elevate his game. I'm not sure, you know, I know of a handful of guys that are certainly laboring, but to what extent, that's everybody has a different definition of that. But Patrick Kane's a guy that has that ability, and we saw it in round three against L.A. We scored 4 goals the last 2 games, including a hat trick to eliminate the defending Stanley Cup champions. Ice is tough. There's not a lot of room. The rink shrinks in the playoffs. People might not realize that, but the rink gets a lot smaller because the intensity goes way up. The back pressure is immense. You got to worry about Chara and Seidenberg and Boychuk and Ferentz. McQuaid, Krug, I mean, you got a pretty good set of defense over on the other end, and they know how to play without the puck, but you got to find a way to generate, and if it's not working one way, well, then that's where you have to adjust and figure out another way, and Patrick Kane certainly is a huge, important part to the success or lack thereof of the Blackhawks moving forward.
And for Chicago to deal better with the Bruins' unbelievable commitment, and you talk about that back pressure, If you're in the coaching chair tonight, what types of adjustments do you make if you're Chicago, or do they just try to get back to being who they are and truly stay within their identity and be the best they can be?
Well, I don't think that they need to make too many adjustments. I think the reads and execution by the players have to be a little bit smarter. I think that there is some room from the defenseman to be able to move the puck through the middle of the ice. The Bruins seem to have, they use the width of the rink extremely well with their forwards and their D-men. I think there's an opportunity to shoot somebody through the middle of the ice every once in a while to give the Bruins something to think about, and then maybe that will open up some plays. You need better support through the middle of the ice. And to me, my key to the series, Doc Emmerich, the great Doc Emmerich, who I work with down here on the NBC broadcast, that, you know, he asked me my key to the series, and I just really felt is who would be able to win and manage the neutral zone. The area between the two blue lines. Who would be able to win that battle? And to this point, it's been the Bruins. But I think for Chicago, if plays aren't there, you're not going to be able to carry the puck in. The puck's got to go in and go get it. Now, do they have the ability, do they have the personnel and players to be able to do that? Well, time will tell. But sometimes you got to take what is given, and that's the type of game that it is. And, you know, I thought it would be a low-scoring series. I was surprised that there were so many goals in game one, but it was 3-1 with 12 minutes left to go in game one in period three. But I think the adjustments need to be is manage the puck much better in the middle of the ice for the Blackhawks, and don't be afraid to dump it in and go get it. You just got to find a way to figure it out and get it away from the Bruins. They're just really, really good defensively.
Ed, we appreciate it. I know it's going to be a fantastic game tonight and a fantastic atmosphere, and we'll get it back to Chicago. Here's hoping we go 6 or 7. Thanks for your time. We'll do it again next week.
Okay, guys. Thanks,
Eddie. Eddie Olczyk, NHL Insider.